ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our topic for today, brothers, is the challenges we as the Ummah are facing. When we study the Ummah, you look at the micro, South Africa, you look at the macro, the entire Muslim Ummah in all parts of the world, we will find that they are facing the same challenges. Number one, we seem to be the most disunited people on this earth. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala commands us, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on firmly to the rope of Almighty Allah, all of you, irrespective of which country we come from, irrespective of which complexion, which language we speak. We all need to hold on to the rope of Almighty Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And they don't cause discord, disunity, dissension. So today many a time we don't understand the meaning of this. If we want unity, the first ingredient for unity is unity must be on the haqq. You cannot have unity with batil, with falsehood. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقْ. So we must draw a distinction and dichotomy between what is the truth and what is falsehood. We cannot say we must unite with all and sundry. That is not what Islam teaches us. So we need to understand the concept of unity first and foremost. Second ingredient for unity is tawadu, and that is humility. Humility means we are prepared to embrace the truth and accept the truth. If we are not prepared to do that, then we can forget about unity. When we look at ourselves, we look at the Ummah worldwide, globally, you will find there are three main reasons why we are disunited. We are disunited, number one, because of complexion. You will see that sometimes we consider ourselves to be superior because we are a certain complexion. And we look down upon somebody else who does not belong to our ethnicity or our race and so forth. Remember, Islam does not allow this. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this very clear in the Hajjatul Wida khutbah. La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin, wa la li ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin. وَلَا لِأَبْيَدْ أَلَىٰ أَسْوَدْ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدْ أَلَىٰ أَبْيَدْ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. No person has superiority by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, but only because of taqwa and piety as enshrined in the noble Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O humankind, O people, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَىٰ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. O humankind, we created you from one male and one female. We made you into various tribes and nations so that you recognize one another. Not litafakharu, not for pride and arrogance. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily, the most noble of you by Almighty Allah is the one who has the greatest taqwa, piety, Allah consciousness. Let us analyze this and see. We all know our past in South Africa. Africa. But to a great extent, we know that this is still continuing till today.
If we look at the foreigner who came from Malawi, Zimbabwe or Nigeria, we already have ideas and concepts that this person here, maybe he's coming to beg by me, maybe he is a drug dealer, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. We're already jumping to conclusions just because of his complexion or just because he does not speak our language. How can that action ever be justified? Take these three incidents, brothers. Then you will understand how unity works. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, the first muazzin in the history of Islam. He is dark in complexion. And once while giving azan in Madina Munawwara, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu entered and said, Yabn al-Sawda, O you son of the African lady. And then he said that, good thing my father was not alive to see you rendering the adhan. This was a derogatory statement. It hurt Sayyidina Bilal so much. He went to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and laid a complaint against Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. When the master alayhi salam heard about it, summoned Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu and asked him, you said this? He said, yes. The master alayhi salam was furious and said, innaka mru'un lafika jahiliya. You still have the traits of ignorance and apartheid in you. What's wrong with you, Abu Dharr? Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu realized that this is a serious crime. He laid down on the land and said, and apologized to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu and said, oh Bilal, take your foot and place it here on my chest. This is how I beg of you apology. Please forgive me. How many of us will even think of this? The language we use, never mind with Muslim, but non-Muslim also. So remember, that is not what Islam teaches us. The same Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an becomes the minister of finance. Go and see where he's buried in Damascus in Babu Saghir. On the wall is written, Mu'adhinu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa waziru ma'lihi. The minister of finance and the mu'adhin of the master alayhi salam. It is Ramadan. It is the 8th year of Hijrah. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu comes with Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The conquest of Makkah takes place. It's this time, Zuhur time. And what happens? The Master alayhi salam addresses Sayyidina Bilal. Oh Bilal, you climb on top of the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, and then you render the adhan. Can you imagine the Arabs who were fair in complexion looking at that? The person who was our slave, the person who we tortured and persecuted, today Allah Jalla wa Ala, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this honor. He's rendering the adhan from on top of the Baytullah and Kaaba Musharrafa. That is Islam, my brothers. Study the lives of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. One of the greatest teachers of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was Atha bin Abi Rabah, the African person. They state when the people came to Makkah, no alim, no scholar was allowed to lecture whilst Atha bin Abi Rabah, the African scholar, was there, because he was the person, A'alam bi manasik al hajj wal umrah. He was a real authority on Hajj and Umrah and all the related issues. Study the life of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and you will find that his one teacher, Muslim bin Ibrahim Azanji, one of his first teachers, he was born in Gaza. In his primary years, his mother brought him to Makkah Mukarrama. He studied by the scholar, the African scholar in Makkah Mukarrama. If you go study what happened in Masjid Nabawi in our time, our honorable teacher, Sheikh Umar Falata rahimahullah, African teacher, from Nigeria, his family hails from Nigeria, teaching hadith right next to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam for almost 50 years. He taught hadith sharif in Masjid Nabawi. So me and you, my brothers, the first challenge we face, remember, is the challenge of unity. Unity will come about based on haqq, on truthfulness, and remember, on humility. You start from your house. Are you united with your wife? Are you united with your family and in-laws? You will find already, ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. that we ourselves are so fragmented and disunited because we have the slogan of shaitan within us. What is the slogan of shaitan? Ana khayrun min. I'm better than him, I'm better than her. We want to dominate everybody. We want to be the boss everywhere. And that is not what Islam teaches us. That is the slogan of shaitan. So first thing we need to learn, and it is Muharram. The new Islamic year has started 1440. Let's take a good look at ourselves, do some introspection, and see, are we really bringing about unity or more fragmentation and disunity? We belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that is what we are speaking about, the unity. So that's the first issue. The second issue, my brothers, is regarding racism. That today in South Africa, it seems that the problem is going from bad to worse. We just judge people because of the language they speak, or because of their complexion. Almighty Allah mentions this in the Noble Quran, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. These different colors and complexions which Almighty Allah created you with. These different languages that Almighty Allah blessed us with. It is the sign of Almighty Allah's sovereignty, majesty and power. It is, you go into a garden and you see the kaleidoscope of colors. You see the diverse colors, diversity in unity. So this is what it is. Look at that person, that it doesn't matter which language he speaks. Remember today, if you go to Lebanon, if you go to Palestine, you will find so many non-Muslim Christian Arabs. They are speaking Arabic. But what is Arabic for them? No virtue, because they don't have Iman and Islam. So no language has any virtue unless the person has Iman and Islam. And then we will say all languages are on par. Whether it's English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Gujarati, Meman, whatever you want to call. Except the Arabic language, provided that the person who's speaking that Arabic language, it is his mother tongue, he himself has Iman. Otherwise, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab spoke Arabic. But what did it help them? So think about it, my brothers, that our means of communication should not be going about fragmentation. Rather, the means of communication should bring about greater unity. We learn more languages so that we can propagate the deen of Almighty Allah in His pristine purity to all and sundry. The third issue facing this ummah, my brothers, is the issue of Masjidul Aqsa. How many of us are even aware what is really happening today in Palestine? If you look at the non-Muslims, it seems outwardly that they are more concerned than the global ummah and than me and you. I take you back to history, and this is what I saw with my own eyes. I was in Palestine in 89 and 92. You go to a place called Hebron, and we call it Khalilur Rahman. The entire masjid is our masjid. In 1994, the 15th of Ramadan, it was a Saturday. The Zionist, extremist, terrorist Baruch Goldstein came in whilst our brothers were performing Fajr Salat. And the police, they just turned a blind eye. He came with his Uzi and he shot our brothers dead whilst they were performing Fajr Salat in Masjid Khalilur Rahman in Hebron. 29 of them became shaheed in the masjid. Approximately 70 of them became shuhada and martyrs. They succumbed to the injuries and so forth. What happened after that? 1994, 15 Ramadan. Justice, inverted commas, Israeli style. They took our masjid and they partitioned it. If you go there today, almost two-thirds of the masjid belongs to the Jews and the front portion belongs to the Muslims. Now if you read what's happening currently, remember they're preparing the people to pull the same stunt in Masjidul Aqsa as well. If you've been to Masjidul Aqsa, you will know the entire wall that is around there, 35 acres, all belongs to Muslim. All that 35 acres is part of Masjidul Aqsa. As far as the structure goes, Masjidul Aqsa is in front, and Qubbatul Sakhra, the dome of the rock, is at the back. So what are they saying? And they say it openly. whether it is on their TV or radio or in their newspapers. They say very soon, they're already preparing the minds of people, that you will come here very soon and you will not find Qubbatul Sakhra, the dome of the rock, where Surah Yasin is inscribed, the beautiful golden dome that was built in the 72nd year after Hijrah by Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So they say, all this we are going to demolish and abolish, and we will replace it with Haykale Sulaimani, the Temple of Solomon. What they did in 1994 in Masjid Khalilur Rahman, then the Ummah remained silent. Did you hear any noise from the Ummah? Did you hear anything from the Muslim countries? So the same thing, remember, they want to do now at Masjid al-Aqsa. They said, see, that the front portion you still have, and the back portion we will take, and we will coexist. And the Ummah, how can we even speak of a solution when we don't even understand the problem? Besides the land and everything else that they're occupying and stealing, they want to take a half, three-quarter almost of our first Qibla. And the Ummah today is silent. We don't even understand this. So brothers, if you want unity, then we have to forge that unity on truth and humility. If you want unity, then we have to remove this racism within us, where we judge people with the language they speak, where we judge people with the complexion they have. That is a direct objection on Almighty Allah. Why did you create that person with this complexion? Why did you give this person this mother tongue and this language? So we are objecting on him, but Almighty Allah created them like that. So what are we doing? It's almost like we are objecting on Almighty Allah himself, Allah forbid. And third one, the issue of Masjid al-Aqsa, always remember that. Fourth issue, my brothers, see what is happening in our own beloved country, South Africa. Do we even read the history? Do we know what's happening in South Africa? Last week they released the crime statistics and they told us that at average 57 murders per day are committed in this beloved country of ours. This week they said that they're legalizing cannabis, dacha, and for private use, meaning in your house. I'm already receiving queries. This morning I received a query from Muslim. Now it is legal by the government, so can I use it also? See how the mind of the Muslim is. The thought process. So the person will be allowed to take the cannabis and dacha in front of his masoom, innocent children, and then we want a good dynamic society. How are you going to have a dynamic society when you allow all these type of drugs? The smaller drug will then lead the person to the worst one. That is natural. So my brothers, what does the Quran say? What we are seeing, witnessing with our own eyes in our beloved country, South Africa. Whether you are a foreigner from Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Egypt, the fact remains now you in South Africa. So look at what is happening. Almighty Allah gives examples in the Quran. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These examples Almighty Allah gives, so that you, O human being, you wonder, ponder, reflect over it, you think about it. So this is the example Allah gives of our beloved country. وَضَرَّبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. There was a town, there was a city, there was a country. The word qariya is nakira, is a common noun. You can use it for all times, all places. So you have a town, a country, they were living in peace, there was tranquility, there was barakah. In time there was so much barakah, and there was so much blessing in the money, and we see where we are today. But what did we do, primarily the Muslims? Freedom came in 1994, and what we did? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. The Muslim became guilty of كُفْرَانُ النِّعْمَةِ. Ungrateful to Almighty Allah, unthankful to the ever-recurring bounties that are showering upon us. Instead of we influencing the masses, they influence us. We call, considered it an honor that if my child went to that non-Muslim school, Christian school, we considered it an honor that if we won some prize from the non-Muslim, instead of we influencing them, they influence us. So cause and effect takes place. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. So Almighty Allah gave me and you and all of us the taste, libas. Libas is the garments, the clothing we wear. So all round, you go to this province, that province, right round you will find the problem. Al-jū'i wal-khawf, you will live in poverty. How many people are retrenched? How many people are unemployed? And that will increase because me and you are so ungrateful, unthankful to the bounties and favors of Almighty Allah. Wal-khawf, we live in the best places. We have security guards, we have security systems, but still we don't have peace and tranquility. Bima kanu yasna'un, because of your own deeds and own actions. So what should we do, my brothers? It is the month of Muharram, 1440. We have to change the condition within ourselves. When I visit the various rehabs, and I speak to the youngsters, I always tell them this. You can be in the best rehab, you can have the best doctors and professors, no one can change you as long as you don't want to change yourself. And that is what Quran is teaching us, my brothers. Whether we're in South Africa, Africa, any part of the world, we all complain, look at the plight of the ummah. But are we prepared to change ourselves? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will not change the plight of a people until and unless they change within themselves. So are we prepared to change? Are we prepared to become ambassadors of Islam? Or are we ashamed of our Islam? When we go abroad, we want to impress the non-Muslim, and we will shave our beard, we won't wear the kurta, we won't behave, we won't wear the topi, because we feel that these people here will intimidate us. That is already the sign how we fear and how insecure we are. Nahnu qawmun, when they conquered Palestine, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and he delivered his memorable khutbah, what did he say? One sentence he said on that occasion, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people, Allah gave us honor because of Islam. Not we gave Islam honor, Islam gave us honor. وَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. And you seek any other ism, then remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will humiliate and disgrace us. That is where we are today. Absolute disgrace. You go to any part of the world and you will see the Muslims are humiliated, disgraced. Because our commitment, our dedication to Deenul Islam is very, very... Like you know when you go to your vehicle, you drive on park lights. Then you have dim lights. Then you have bright lights. So now we are on park lights. So how can we make an impact? We have the best, but we don't want to share it with the rest. Because we ourselves feel ashamed, Allah forbid. We have the best, brothers. You must say to every person, come study Islam politically, socially, economically, and then juxtapose and compare it with your man-made system, and you will see always Islam is the best. Why? Because it is divine. It came from Almighty Allah. It's not man-made. When things are man-made, then remember you will find chaos and mayhem, as you can see in the world, in the politicians and the parliaments, what's happening nowadays. My last message to you, brothers, and this is one of the most important messages. We are in this masjid, West Street Masjid. If you know the history of the Natal, you will know that the oldest masjid in KwaZulu-Natal was Grey Street Masjid. This is the second oldest masjid in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. This is documented. It has a wonderful foundation, and then as time went on, MashaAllah, the trustees, the well-wishers renovated it. Today, one of the most beautiful masjid in KwaZulu-Natal and South Africa. So we have a foundation. And what is that foundation? That foundation is our aqidah, our structure of belief. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What does it mean, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Today there are variant groups. They want to take our youth and our people away from this. And they will tell you that what you are studying is not Islam. It is Indian Islam. It is Pakistan Islam. It is that Islam. We will teach you the true Islam. And that is how they make you leave the true path. So what is the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Almighty Allah speaks of this in Surah Yusuf chapter 12, verse 108. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way and path. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. I invite everyone towards Almighty Allah. Ala basiratin. And on firm conviction. We need to have that firm conviction. Ana, I. That is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah. Wa manittaba'ani. And those who follow me immaculately. That is jama'ah. The jama'ah of sahaba. The beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what we need in our life. If anybody comes and tells us any one of these things which I'll highlight now. Number one, the Quran Sharif. Without a shadow of doubt, we have to believe in every verse, every ayat of the noble Quran, 6,236 verses, 114 chapters. We don't accept the Quran is in some cave here and there and all that. This is Quran Sharif, the most memorized book in the world. We challenge so many people of the Jewish faith, of the Christian faith, and none of them can bring a hafiz of their original book in the original language. We can produce millions, alhamdulillah. We must believe in the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mubarak speech of the master alayhi salam, the mubarak actions of the master alayhi salam, which you will find in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, all these various ahadith compilations. If we detach ourselves from that, remember it is dhallu wa dhallu. That is the path of ruin and a recipe for disaster. Qul ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Ya alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. So we have to obey Almighty Allah Jalla wala and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how are we going to obey Nabi alayhi salam without the sunnah and without the ahadith? Third one, brothers. This is of paramount importance. You must understand this point. Every sahabi, every student and companion of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Almighty Allah has praised them repeatedly in the noble Quran. Number one, Almighty Allah says, "Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an." Almighty Allah is pleased with them. They in turn are pleased with Almighty Allah. Wa kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. For all of them is Jannah. Don't get caught up in propaganda. This sahabi did this, this sahabi did this. Almighty Allah forgave them. Allah promised them Jannah. Who are me and you to pass aspersion and allegations against them? If we do so, we do so at our own peril. Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79. الذين يلمزون المتطوعين من المؤمنين في الصدقات والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم. It was the battle of Tabuk in the 90th of the Hijrah. The month is Rajab. Sahaba came like Sayyidina Usman and they gave thousands and millions. 1,000 gold coins, 300 camels Sayyidina Usman alone gave radiallahu anhu. They said Mura'in, he's just showing off. Poor Sahaba came with few dates. They said you waste time, take these dates away. فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. They were mocking the Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah will mock them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a painful, horrible, terrible punishment. So the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Awliyaullah, and the four schools of thought. That is what the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah stands for. Don't move away from this, my beloved youth. Once you move away, then remember you're going to go on the path of dhalala and astrayness. May Almighty Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjidul Aqsa and all our masajid. Keep us attached to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and let us die and pass away with Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.